Okay, it's that time of year, right? It's getting a little bit frantic. You notice the Amazon people going up and down your street all day long, you know, and things have changed. I actually found a mall that was open, and I thought, that's an old experience. Yeah, not many of those around anymore that aren't outlet malls, but it's kind of a crazy time, and I don't know about you, but there just still seems to be so much to do, and Christmas is like right around the corner. In 2 weeks from now, we'll be celebrating Christmas Eve. In an old Peanuts comic strip, Charlie Brown says to Linus, you know, life is just too much for me. I've been confused from the day I was born. I think the whole trouble is that we're thrown into life too fast. We're not really prepared. And Linus turns to him and says, what do you want? A chance to warm up first? Yeah. The season of Advent is supposed to be our chance to warm up. That is, in another 2 weeks, it'll be over and the big day will be here. All of the decorations will be in place. The packages will all be wrapped. The last cards will have been received. And then, ready or not, Christmas Day will be here. Yay! It's great. Will you be ready? Really ready for Christmas, for the real Christmas, not the Christmas of Santa Claus and reindeers and all that sort of thing, expensive gifts and tinsel. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But will you be ready for the birth of the Christ child? In our scripture lesson from the Gospel of John, a strange voice comes from the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Or as the Living Bible translates it, get ready for the coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Are you ready for Christmas? Paul in 1 Thessalonians writes about another Advent. He tells his readers, among other things, to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, and to abstain from every appearance of evil until the day when Jesus comes again. In a sense, he's telling them to get ready. Get ready for the grandest, greatest Christmas of all. So I ask you, are you ready for Christmas? What are some of the impediments that might hinder us from being ready for Christmas? What are some of the obstacles that Christ might find, or to use John's imagery, on the highway into our hearts this Christmas season? Let's consider four elements as we have drawn from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. First, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, and abstain from all evil, or the appearance of evil. If we can do those things, perhaps we will be really ready. Let's start with rejoice always. One of the most depressing facts about Christmas for some people is the fact that everybody is not happy. There are persons who have lost the ability to laugh, to play, even to rejoice in the Lord. They may not be misers, but they may have a great deal of load on their hearts in some way. They might have the spirit of Scrooge in them, and there might be a reason for it. Very much the Grinch that can steal Christmas. Something in the life has made them afraid maybe to trust life, to trust other people, to trust God. Dr. Raymond Moody put it in his book, Laugh After Laugh, quote, it is well to recognize that some people are actually fearful of joy, elation, pleasure, or other usually positive emotional states. And many of these people, being joyful causes them to have feelings of guilt, shame, or unworthiness. Unfortunately, with feelings that these things have crept into the attitude of many, many people, many of them very faithful Christians. When missionaries went to one tribe, a group in Africa, they told the people there that once they became baptized, they could no longer dance. Can you imagine that? No longer dance. They did. That's right. Those Africans who converted to Christianity began to be known as, quote, the people who gave up dancing. How sad, how sad. We need to be reminded that our Puritan forebearers banned the celebration of Christmas. Did you know that? Yeah, just watch enough TV with me, you get enough history that you know. That's right. They banned it. They were people that thought that it was frivolous and pagan. There are some people today who are really afraid of being happy. They nurture their fears, their resentments, and their hurts. They shut themselves off from others and seek to live as little islands unto themselves. They're not ready for Christmas because they will not let Christ set them free. They need to be like the quiet young writer who came into the wildly uninhibited Zorba, the Greek, and said to him, teach me to dance. If there's ever been a time for dancing, it is at Christmas time. The Lord of all the heavens and earth has come to our world as a tiny baby. What a supreme cause for celebration. Rejoice always, Paul writes. Some of us are afraid of giving into that kind of unadulterated joy. And then he writes, pray without ceasing. A second impediment to our preparation for Christmas may be our prayer lives. When Paul says, pray without ceasing, does he mean that our spirit should never be very far from God's spirit? Yes, I believe so. It's not a matter of being in constant dialogue, but it's being constantly in the presence of God. That's a powerful thing. Prayer should be such a natural part of our lives that we're always prepared for his coming because he's never been far away. Let that roll over you for just a moment. Charles Allen writes about an outstanding businessman named Arthur Rank. Mr. Rank has an elevator straight up to his office, but he never takes it. He walks up the steps every day, and he calls them his prayer walk. His prayer stairs. And when he walks up in the morning, he prays to God to guide him every step that he takes on of the day. And as he takes each step separately and deliberately, he prays. In the morning, he walks up those steps asking God's help. In the evening, he walks down those same steps thanking God for the help that he has been given that day. I dare say that Mr. Rank is probably ready for Christmas. There are so many people who think that Christmas is to be celebrated by working up some mushy, sentimental feelings about God and the Christ child one day out of the year and then putting those feelings back on the shelf for another year. Those folks are not ready for Christmas. So how is your prayer life? Is it bringing you daily into the presence of God? Karen Phelps, he's a long-distance runner, wrote recently, quote, on this particular day, I didn't feel like running at all, but I made myself because running is a sport you have to practice every day. I wanted to win races, so I had to set a plan for training. 1, run daily, even if you don't like it. 2, run daily, even if you sometimes have to skip fun and pleasure. 3, run daily, even in bad weather, even if people think that you're weird. 4, run daily, even when it gives you aches and pains and you feel like quitting. And last, run daily, even if you don't feel it's doing you any good. Our day, she continued, as I was jogging along on my training run, it came to me that daily practice training was what my spiritual life needed. And you know what I learned? Sometimes you may not feel like praying or reading the Bible or going out of your way to help others, but if you're in training, physical or spiritual, you'll do it. She's ready for Christmas, I dare say. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and then give thanks in all circumstances. It's so easy to be thankful at Christmas, isn't it? We have so much. Santa Claus will reward us with so many nice things. The stores have been filled this year with symbols of our material affluence. But for some people, material affluence becomes a spiritual poverty. They grasp at things eternal because internally they are paupers and there's nothing there. Give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, could you give thanks this Christmas if some of your things that you cherish most were stripped away from you? How about your sight or your hearing or even your speech? There was a little girl who was born in 1880 in Tuscumbia, Alabama. Her name was Helen Keller. You know her story. She came into a dark world without sight, without hearing, without the ability to speak. She was blind, deaf, and dumb. What a dark world she lived in for this little child. But one of the stories of the century is how she came out of that darkness and into the light of the world in which you and I live, never seeing with physical eyes the light of the sun that we see, never hearing the sounds that we can hear, but she lived a full, rich, abundant life. She graduated from Radcliffe, cum laude, when her teacher, Ann Sullivan, finally brought her to where she could understand and receive ideas and concepts, and she came to know about God and Jesus. Helen Keller said this, I always knew that there was a God, but I never knew what to call him. She had very few of the blessings that you and I have, but listen to how she describes the meaning of Christmas for her. It's entitled A Christmas Legend. A legend tells that when Jesus was born, the sun danced in the sky, the aged trees straightened themselves and put on leaves and sent forth the fragrance of blossoms once more. These are symbols of what takes place in our hearts when the Christ child is born anew each year. Blessed by Christmas sunshine, our natures, perhaps long leafless, bring forth new love and kindness, new mercy and compassion. And as the birth of Jesus was the beginning of Christian life, so the unselfish joy of Christmas will start the spirit that is to rule the whole next year. The unselfish joy of Christmas. Could you give thanks if you were deaf and blind and mute? Helen Keller was ready for the coming of the Lord. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, and finally, avoid any appearance of evil. The greatest threat to our being ready for the coming of the Lord is always the power of sin in our life. There are families who will be painfully splintered this Christmas because one partner in a marriage relationship did not heed Paul's words to avoid even the appearance of evil. There will be lives lost senselessly in the nation's highways because some persons confuse wild revelry with real joy. There will be persons who will feel only coldness and cynicism this Christmas season because they have wandered so far from God that they can hardly find their way back. Avoid any appearance of evil. Christmas is a time of coming home, a time of remembering. Christiana Rossetti's little poem says, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? I'll give him my heart." So are you ready? Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for the Lord's coming? Or are there still obstacles on the highway that the Lord must travel into your heart? Let us pray. Our Father, we are all on that journey, all of us on that highway. And this time of year can be a tremendous distraction from that, or it can be the center of everything that we do and say and are. We thank you for the opportunity to be the people that you have called us to be. But give us courage and insight, inspiration, motivation, all those things that draw us closer to you, and fill our hearts with a tremendous sense of rejoicing today and every day. For we rejoice in the coming of the Christ child. Amen.